providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Cortland Economics Report.
More good news out there. Well, you just heard it at the top of the hour news that bisects our program. Charlotte, do you have any statistics continuing on with the border between Texas and Mexico that you feel our listeners should be aware of?
Yeah, there's actually one issue, Al, that I'd really like to cover. So a lot of this is a humanitarian issue. A lot of it is a border security issue. And I think it's really important to distinguish some of these numbers. So in March, it's estimated that 100,000 people will have been apprehended by Border Patrol entering the US illegally. Now, most of these people will claim credible fear. Most will be from Central America. A lot will be family members or children traveling alone. Now, of those that claim credible fear, 89% are granted, which means now we have 89,000 people in March who are now released into the United States. With very little information that we know about them. Now, they'll be given a court date further down the line, and 9% of Central Americans are eventually granted asylum. So you're talking about you're releasing 89,000 people into the country, and only 8,000 of them actually have meritorious asylum claims once they've been through the court system and an immigration judge has made that determination that, yes, they do have an asylum claim. And those 8,000 people will very well have horrific stories. They need asylum. And, you know, that's what America is about, is that 8,000 people really helping those humanitarian issues. But that means that 81,000 are not granted asylum. But those 81,000, they're already in the United States. They've come here for mostly economic reasons. And we don't see them again. They're just here. They stay indefinitely. Now, 2% of them will get removed, which is about 1,000-something. So this is the problem. The problem is to deal with these 81,000 that don't have meritorious asylum claims. And I think that's where it becomes a bipartisan issue. Oh, you're not being humanitarian. You know, the US has got to care for people that need help. Well, if we could take these 81,000 economic migrants out of the equation, we could help more than the 8,000 that really have serious asylum claims.
You know, that's a very interesting thought that I hadn't really gone over before. There are people who have legitimate claims, and you're saying that they are simply swept under the rug because of other people who really don't have legitimate claims. That's a very important thing, I think, to realize, and I think that perhaps is one of the most important things that's come out of our conversation so far today. There are people from Mexico who have what I would call credible reasons to come into the United States, credible and proven reasons to come into the United States, and those people don't seem to fall within the area of conversation or regulation or whatever you have it. I think that one of the problems with the border situation right now is instead of looking at the macro situation, people are looking people are really looking at the macro situation. And I think that is probably a shame. Charlotte, let's move a little up the border. Let's go a little outside of Texas. Let's talk about your observations, and I'm going to flip over to Arizona and leave New Mexico out of this for right now, unless you want to bring up something about New Mexico, but I'd kind of like to focus on what's going on in Arizona, because I think I know from our conversations in the past some really, really provable positive aspects have happened because of changes on the border in Arizona. We'll take this any place you want, Charlotte. Go ahead.
Sure. Well, my experience in Arizona, as I mentioned earlier, was spending time in Yuma, and that's Yuma is kind of a poster child for a border fence. After the Secure Fence Act in 2006, a border wall was constructed there, I think was finished 2008 or so, and illegal crossings decreased by 96%, and that Yuma used to be one of the worst places in the country, actually, for illegal crossings. And also the Yuma sheriff there, he told me that ancillary crime, which is your rapes, your robberies, your thefts in his county, decreased by 91%. So that's a huge impact on a local community. Another area that I went to in Arizona was actually, it was very remote. There was nothing. There was a 4-strand barbed wire fence for some of it, and then there was just nothing. You didn't even know if you were in the US or Mexico for a lot of it. And I actually spent some time with a group there that they put out trail cameras along some of the main smuggling routes. And so they have this footage of say, 12 to 15 guys coming from Mexico, all camouflage gear, big backpacks on, and they're just hoofing it into the United States with their backpacks. There are mountains on the Mexican side and the U.S. side, and these guys are saying, yep, that's a cartel scout location. That's a cartel scout location. The cartels put a couple of guys up there for a week at a time with a radio and a solar panel and battery and a bit of food, and they basically dictate, go that way, go this way, hey, border patrol's over there. So it's a pretty open border. It's a pretty open border there, and a lot of the southwest border is like that.
And you're talking right now specifically focusing on Yuma, Arizona, but I got to tell you, I spent some time in Yuma a number of years ago. I'm not really sure. That would be a tough place for me to live, I would have to say. Charlotte, we're running out of time. We've got about one segment left where we can continue this discussion. I want to focus, if you don't mind, on the situation in Arizona where an actual physical barrier of sorts was put up, and the statistics, the positive statistics that resulted from that barrier, I'd like you to go over those because that's something that you have seen in person. Keep in mind, we've only got about 2 minutes left in this segment. Actually, not even that much, about a minute and a half. You're on.
Yeah, sure. So, yeah, again, those statistics, the fence went up, illegal crossings went down 96%, and that was from crazy numbers like 300,000 a year or more down to sort of 30,000. So huge decreases there purely because of the fence. They also introduced more manpower, so I think that's a big part of it. And they had a 100% prosecution rule. So those three things kind of had to work together. There needed to be a consequence of coming illegally. If there's no consequence, it's open season. So definitely the fence, the people and the consequence made a huge difference in Yuma.
You know, that if that isn't proof enough to solidify the argument of we need some type of physical barriers on, not perhaps not along the entire border, but along certain segments of the border, if that isn't proof positive, Charlotte, I got to tell you, I don't know what is. You know, what I want to talk about, by the way, we got to take a final break here, and then I want to talk about what's going on in California, and I'm going to touch on my opinion, for lack of better terms, into what the situation really is all about. It's called the rule of law. Stick around, ladies and gentlemen. Be right back to wrap up the show with Charlotte Cuthbertson.